Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We are subject to the laws of the land until the laws of the land tell us to do something that we cannot do out of good conscience as Christians. The same thing is true with a husband that tells his wife to do something that is out of all good conscience she can't do.
As Christians, we are told to obey the laws of the jurisdiction where we live, except when those laws go against the Word of God. God is our ultimate authority, and His law is above all. We're bringing you the second part of our study in Acts 4, 13 through 22, as we study the supremacy and power of God's Word played out in the early church. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Authorities, governments, armies, which are not always right or righteous, have been placed there by God to do the work that God's called us to do. So when an authority tells us that we can't do something or that we have to do something that we have a conviction that we should not do, there's this kind of got you feeling among critics. Well, what are you guys going to do? You're told you're supposed to obey authority. And if the authority tells you that you have to do this and you're not going to do it, in California, there are some very real challenges that are faced. They are passing laws that if a pastor does not marry a gay couple, that he could be arrested for discrimination if he, by his conviction, says, I believe that God ordained marriage and marriage is between a man and a woman, and a marriage between a man and a man really isn't a marriage. A marriage between a woman and a woman really isn't a marriage, because a marriage is between a man and a woman for the purpose of procreation and creating the family and continuing the human race, that they may very well go, we're not going to marry you. They could be arrested, and that may spread. It may spread from California to other parts of the United States. It may be something that we will have to face one day, where we will have to determine, this is the conviction that I've got from God as to what's right or wrong. Now, when the authority says, do that, and we go, we believe that's not what a family really is and what marriage really is, so we're not going to do it. Again, the critics think that they've got us, but they don't have us at all. Why? And it's very simple. Because God is our higher authority. God is the authority that gave them authority. That's what the Bible says. God's the authority that gave those in authority their authority, so we will always obey the higher authority. There's not a problem with that. It's not a gotcha moment at all. When the critics go, well, it says to obey the authorities, but when the authorities tell you to do something that's not Christian, what are you guys going to do? Huh? Got you. Gotcha. I'm like, that's the weakest argument of any critic I've ever heard in my entire life. The Bible is full of people who, when they were told by authorities to do something, they rebelled against it because it was wrong. In 1 Corinthians, Paul was spreading the gospel in Damascus. He had just gotten saved. He was an enemy of the church. He got saved and he went and started debating people in Damascus. So they gathered together a particular guy to arrest him. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 11, 32 and 33. In Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison to arrest me. Paul's giving his testimony. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from their hands. Can you imagine Saul of Tarsus as he made his way to arrest Christians in Damascus, suddenly becoming a Christian? And now they've hired one man to hunt him down and find him. And so they put him in a basket and let him down in the wall in a window. There are some of us that would go, nah, I'll just be arrested. You're going to put me in a basket and lower me down. Go ahead, I'm lowering you down with the rope. We're like, yeah, never mind. I'll just stay getting arrested. A little bit humiliating, but Paul was like, I was let down in a basket and escaped him. In Matthew 2:12, the wise men were told by Herod, come back and tell me where you find the child. And then it says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. They ignored the authority because they had the higher authority of God. In Acts 5:29, it says, "But Peter and the other apostles answered them, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" They're going to actually beat them in chapter 5. We're going to get to the point where it's gone from threats to now they are being punished. And they're like, "We're going to obey God rather than man." So as I said, there's no gotcha moment here. Moses' parents, which says in Hebrews 11:23, "By faith, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months because they saw that he was a beautiful child." And that always cracks me up. They hid him because they saw he was beautiful. What if he was ugly? That's an ugly baby. Ain't hiding that baby. Go throw him in the river. It says, "And they were not afraid of the king's command." In Daniel chapter 6, there was a law of the Medes and the Persians that was signed by the king. It was a trick so they could get Daniel, because they knew Daniel was a man who prayed, so they made it illegal to pray to anyone else. And so Daniel's going to pray. Well, listen to what it says, verse 10 of Daniel 6. "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in the upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days." So in other words, he didn't go, "You telling me I can't pray? Now I'm going to go pray." If a law were passed in the United States that said that you guys could not share the gospel with anyone, I think that could probably be the best thing to happen to the church for evangelism since the giving of the Holy Spirit. Tell me I can't share the gospel, and we're out sharing the gospel. But Paul was praying all the time anyway, and he just continued to do it. He knew it was signed. He went and he prayed. He gets thrown in the lion's den, and God protects him because he's following the higher power. Then a couple more, we'll be done. Exodus 1:17. We'll be done with this section. I have more. Just so you don't get your hopes up yet. Exodus 1:17. "But the midwives," these are the midwives in Egypt, "but the midwives feared God and did not do the kings of Egypt commanded them, but save the male children alive." They were told to take the male children, throw them into the river. When the male children would be born, they would protect them. And when they were asked, "Why are you protecting the male children?" they said, "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. And before we get a chance to be there, the babies are born, and so we don't have the chance to throw them in the river." Now, that was a lie. They lied, and God commended it for them. And that brings us to the question, is it ever okay to lie? And the obvious answer to that is yes, when you're saving a life. Which one of you husbands, if a man breaks into your house, would put you to gunpoint and says, "Where's your wife?" "She's hiding in the secret room in the back. I can't lie. I'm like George Washington. I got to tell you where she's at." That's ridiculous, right? You're going to do whatever you can do to protect them. And if that means lying, so be it. The 10th commandment, "Thou shalt not lie," is it's "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Now, there is other passages that says, "Do not lie." But sometimes there are things that are done in order to do what is right. The midwives do that. That's a whole other sermon. I'm just touching on it now. Now, the next time a critic says to you, "You have to obey all authorities, and when authorities tell you to do something different, what are you going to do?" You just simply say, "It's right for us to obey God and not man." That's simply what you say. God's the one who gave authority their authority, so the higher authority tells me to do something, I will always listen to the higher authority, not the lower authority. It doesn't make us not subject to the authorities. We are subject to them. We are subject to the laws of the land until the laws of the land tell us to do something that we cannot do out of good conscience as Christians. The same thing is true with a husband that tells his wife to do something that is out of all good conscience she can't do. It's same thing is true if a 17-year-old child is told by the father to go do something. I saw a good analogy of this the other day, that what if a father goes to a 17-year-old son and says, we need some money and we need to rob this store, but if I rob it and get caught, I'm going to do years in prison, but because you're 17, they're going to let you go immediately and you're not going to have any consequences from it, so you go and rob the store for me. So the 17-year-old would go, no, as a Christian, I'm not going to go rob the store, even though I would have different consequences than what you would have. We always obey the government as Christians. That's what we're called to do. Now, what happens to them? They say, you tell us, should we obey God or men? Verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they're not telling them, we're not going to speak it. When we first came to town, this is way back in the 80s, Mark Martin, who is a pastor of a Calvary Chapel up in Phoenix, as you're leaving Phoenix out of I-17, there's a sign there that says, I think it says Calvary Chapel Christian Church is what it says, and it flashes, and you almost can't miss it as you're going by. That's Mark Martin's church, and Mark's a friend of mine. We've been friends for a long time. There was a tragedy in his family. A little girl had drowned. They were out here at a Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, and so the family went to our church, and they were family of Mark, so we got together to do the funeral. And at that particular time, the commander on the base was Islam. And so the chaplain sat down with me and Mark before the service and said, you guys do not preach the gospel, don't talk about Jesus or salvation at all. Now, I immediately got my hackles up. I was like, you can't tell us what we can say and can't say. This is a chaplain, right? And so I start going, and Mark kind of taps me on the shoulder and goes, it's okay. And then he looked at the chaplain and said, thank you. And the chaplain goes, all right, thank you. And he got up. And I got up and did my part, which wasn't sharing the gospel. That was going to be Mark's part. So I got up and I did my part in the service. And then Mark got up and said, listen, we have a tragedy in our family, a child dying. But the truth is that death happens to everybody. And if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ, then you will face eternity apart from God. And he preached the gospel. And afterwards, he just said to me, I wasn't in the army. What were they going to say to me? I didn't tell the guy I wouldn't do it. I just said, okay, thank you. That's all he said was thank you. I appreciate it. And then he did it. And he was right. This chaplain, what was the chaplain going to do to us? And I learned a good lesson from Mark on that day. Maybe it's good not to just argue, but say thank you for letting us know. I'm not saying I'm going to do it. Just thank you for letting us know. So in verse 20, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, so now they tried to threaten them once. They threatened them again. We will get you. You preach in the name of Jesus. They let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. The guy has been healed. The people are there. Since they all glorified God for what had been done, for the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Now, in closing, this is the beginning of persecution. And God's going to use the persecution to spread the church around the world. They're not going to be allowed to remain comfortable in Jerusalem as Christians. They could have. God could have left them alone. The church could have grown there to a great number and they could have been a huge presence, but that's not God's plan. God's plan is to spread them around the world, and so God uses persecution to do that. Now, when God wants to do something in our lives, we're like, Lord, we vote for something besides persecution. But the Bible says that God uses trials and difficulties and hardships in our lives to do things that would not be done otherwise. Consider it all enjoy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Don't think it's strange when these fiery trials come upon you. As Christians, we think it's strange. Fiery trials happen. Jesus said, blessed are you when they persecute you, when they revile you and say all kinds of evil against you. Bless those who curse you. And so God uses trials, struggles, and difficulties to do things in our lives that would not normally be done. Now, you might not do that. I wouldn't do that. But God's not a man that he would do things man's way. God does things his way. And he said, in this world, you will have trials. There is a gospel that is preached in America where it said, if you give your life to Jesus, you're going to be the most comfortable. God's going to make you the most comfortable you could ever possibly be. And that's not the gospel. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. You are going to sacrifice. Your life is going to be a living sacrifice. You are going to face difficulties and trials and troubles, and some of them are unthinkable, but God uses them. 11 years ago now, maybe 12, Greg Laurie, Pastor Greg Laurie, lost his son in an automobile accident. He's 32 years old, the unthinkable. And on the morning that it happened, he went out to address his fellowship. And he said to them, he didn't preach, he just wanted to go out and share with them. He said to them, I would have never have chosen to go down this road of losing my son. But go down this road I will. And I want you to know that I still believe in God and I still trust him. A few weeks later, he preached his first sermon after losing his son. And he said that when tragedy strikes, people look at us closer to see whether or not we really believe what we believe. Anyone can serve God when life is going well and there's no struggles. But when we have difficulties and hardships, when the people that we love are struggling, will we trust God in the midst of that? And light shines brightest in the darkness. And when darkness hits your life, that's when you can say, I'll serve God, whether I'm blessed or whether I'm struggling. And Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. So we shouldn't be surprised. There's a false gospel taught from pulpits across the United States that if you give your life to Jesus, your life's going to be better. Warren Wiersbe used to say, when trials hit your life, when you as a Christian face difficulties, they can do one of two things. They can make you better or they can make you bitter. That God tests us, but the Bible says God doesn't tempt any man. God tests us, but the enemy uses it for temptation. The enemy wants to tempt you and have you to walk away from Christ or say, I'm not going to follow him, or I've got this going on. When you face hardships and difficulties, draw closer to Christ. Find it in him. Know that God is able to work all things together for the good. He doesn't make all things happen for the good, but he can take anything that happens to us and he can turn it out for the good. And sometimes that's unthinkable because of what we're facing is so hard. The trial we're going through is so difficult, but God knows the struggles that you're facing and we are not following him so that our lives can get better. We're following him so he can use our lives for whatever he plans, whatever he desires, and whatever he wants in our lives. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you as we take time to look at this section of scripture and see Peter, James, and John saying, we're not going to follow the authority of men, but of God, but also to see that what these enemies planned to do to stop the spread was the exact thing that spread it. They wanted to stop it by bringing persecution, but the word was spread by the very persecution that they used to try to stop it from spreading. You are a God that does things differently because your ways are as high above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. And we pray that you would now look at our difficulties, Lord. Look at the struggles we're going through. Deliver us from them. Use them for your name. But Lord, you said, ask and it will be given, that we don't have because we don't ask. And Lord, we need your help for our family, for our friends, for our own lives and the struggles that we're going through. Yes, do a work in them. But Lord, you are a God. You are a deliverer. you deliver, and we're asking you to deliver, and we want our lives to glorify your name. And Lord, we're not just looking for a comfortable life. We want to sacrifice. We want to live for you, but we want you to move in our lives. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please. Your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe you did at some time in the past, but you didn't follow through, and you know you need to make that right, and you want to begin to live for Him, and you realize that Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, then let him lay down his life, pick up his cross, and follow me. He is not saying, I'm going to come into your life and make your life more comfortable and better. That's the American dream, that we get to the place where we're comfortable and we live out the rest of our life in comfort. But God says, I want to use you in the lives of those around you. And however God would do that, you say to him, Lord, I'm yours. I'll follow you. I'll live for you. Peter, James, and John were by the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus said, follow me. And they left their nets and they followed him. Within a decade of Jesus being crucified and resurrected, James, the older brother, was killed by Herod with the sword. That was God's plan for his life. When you surrender your life to Christ, you're saying, I'm yours. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Use me the way you want to use me, but let people see Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple, something bold. Right where you are, just raise your hand. You're saying, I want to surrender my life to Christ and I want to live for him. God bless you, ma'am. All the way over to the right. You're saying, I'm ready to stop living for myself. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. God bless you. All the way back over to the left. That's great, young man. That's awesome. Anyone else? I won't go on and on. But I will scan the room one more time. You want to give your life to Christ? Just be bold. It's time to give your life to him, begin living for him. God bless you. Right by the aisle there. Anyone else? All right, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin, that I can live for you, that I can be your disciple, that I can follow you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.